Coach Helmy, let's touch on the aspect of coaches. What is the current number of coaches who are involved in the national team setup?
Okay, I think in the national team now, we have a total of 7 coaches. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then are these coaches, are there also coaches at private bowling academies?
Okay, for us, if you talk about the national setup,
yeah.
So all the coaches in the national setup only coaches the national team.
Okay.
So in like private academies and stuff like that, so they are all certified coaches by Singapore Bowling.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how does the SBF annually conduct? I mean, does the SBF annually conduct
yes.
coaching courses?
So so every year we conduct the level 1, level 2, level 3, and now we have the level 4 courses
yeah.
once a year. So every year there will be coaches attending all the different courses.
What does one need to have in order to become a qualified bowling coach?
Okay, first of course you need to attend the level 1. The technical is conducted by us.
Right.
Then to be a recognized coach in Singapore, then you need your theory part, which is the, and it used to be called NCAP.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to go take the sports course by MOE so that you can coach schools in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are the few of the courses that they have to take.
But I think there's something else that we are also immensely proud of at Singapore Bowling.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have 2 registry for coaches.
Okay.
All the coaches who were previously certified as coaches prior to my coming on board, they're on our general registry. And then we have another registry, what we call the Registry of Active Coaches. And this would be the programs that we've launched since I came on board with SIDS assistance to professionalize the coaching field in Singapore. So, you know, the level 1, 2, 3, these are the active coaches that we have. But more importantly than that, in order to stay on the active registry, we also ask that the coaches attend our continuing education workshops so that they are constantly updated on the latest practices, improve their knowledge. So, you know, knowledge to us is all important. So if you engage with our continuing education workshops, you continue to be on the active registry. But if you decide to opt out and take a more laid back, you know, you're still on our general registry. So we always advise the schools or parents or, you know, aspiring bowlers out there, if you want to, you know, look for a coach, please check the active registry, because these are the ones who are more up to date. They are more enthusiastic about, you know, their coaching. And this is how we segregate those from, you know, you differentiate those who are more passionate about how they want to bring the sport of bowling to the next level, or those who, oh, I'm quite happy this recreation, and that's perfectly fine for us too.
Jesse Pua, I understand you had a maximum participation in the primary and secondary schools league this year.
And we're so happy with it. If I may share,
yeah.
We started the schools league because we realized that at every national school championship, there's so many supporters of their teammates at the nationals, at the school's nationals, but there are also so many out there who train for weeks, for months, and never have the opportunity to represent the schools. Which is why then we say, look, I think we are duty bound to create opportunities for them so that they also know what is it like to fly the school's colour, to compete in a very competitive environment. And that's how we kickstart the school's league. And we're so happy for it, because it helps to not only build up a bigger pool for us, it also gives us opportunity to, you know, find the rare gem that may have been lost in, you know, in the school's selection system. So it's win-win for everyone. So we have a big group of emerging youth bowlers who are enthusiastic and excited about bowling, and it just adds a different dimension to our sporting scene.
Okay, let's touch on community projects and activities. Which is your biggest event every year which allows for the promotion of bowling to the public?
We have our national championship and our Singapore International, which I say, you know, we're immensely proud of. We offer one of the biggest prize money of the in the region. But I think we also very proud of the age group. We try to open up different competition to give different levels of athletes an ability to shine. we also very proudly mainstream this disabled athletes into our national championship. So we actually has a division for disabled athletes in our national championship. So they're not sidelined, they're mainstream.
That's good. That's great news to hear as well.
Yes.
Do you do anything with the private sector or the corporates to promote the game to them as well?
Oh, that's where we are brilliant. Immensely brilliant. Thanks to our fantastic sponsor, Canon. Annually, we have been able to really, you know, practice what we preach. We are the forerunners of work-life balance. Canon and Singapore Bowling, we introduce a fun bowl to corporate Singapore. We remind everybody why they're in sport. It's to really have a good time. So we will host companies to this special, you know, Canon events where we run team parties. We have
Halloween.
We have Halloween, we have Saturday Night Fever, I love the enthusiasm of my bowlers. You remember when we have Halloween and we had the bowlers, we want them to march in. Oh, first thing I said was, look, it has to be Thriller. Thriller has to be the curtain raiser, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Then we're making them, you know, all the zombies come out from the side. And then Shana then came up, Mrs. Pua, would it not add more drama if we crawl out from the pin center? I went like, oh my God, you got it, you know. So I dressed up as Queen Amadella, when they were dabbing blood on me, I went like, so what are you doing?
Zombie
fight. Putting blood. I went like, I thought I was supposed to be the pretty Queen Amadella. They said, oh, you're very dead queen. So we had fun. The participants come and we had moonlight bowling. There's no competition. There's a little bit of competition, but the whole idea is to bring back why you do sport in the first place. Is to have fun. So Canon is having a ball of a time with us, and they look forward to every year what new surprise we're going to spring. So we have ever converted our bowling center into movie night. So entry is by movie ticket, you know, and they all dressed up stormtroopers. They were dressed up as stormtroopers. So I not only have a very supportive main sponsor, I have a very enthusiastic, you know, team who are willing to do anything. Even those with two left foot have to dance for the Saturday Night Fever. I think it is amazing. And this is what sport is about.
Yeah.
We mustn't forget the fun element even when you're competing. I always ask them, are you having fun? Because if you're not having fun, look, there are better things to do in life.
Okay. From the fun and games, Wilfred, you're part of the SPECS program by the Singapore Sports Institute. Could you say how many bowlers are currently under the program and how have you benefited from it?
Currently we have 8. The newest addition will be Charlene Lim.
Okay.
Yeah. How I've benefited from it? I guess mainly from training and really experimenting with new bowling balls. Because bowling balls cost quite a bit. And travelling to overseas competitions and for training as well, to work with Storm, Tour Reps and everything. And the main thing that I benefited is that I realized that the sports manager behind it, I work with Sally, one of the sports managers. She is very interested in my personal development as a person more than how I am on the lanes, you know, and that's something that I really appreciate.
Okay.
Yeah.
And besides, I mean, being part of this program, does it push you to adopt a more professional attitude and outlook on training and competing, knowing that the SPECS program relies and is derived from public funding?
Definitely. The main part I learned is about independence. Like, we have to take charge of our own programs. And even like in the gym, our research, like, okay, what are the things that I need to work on? Maybe I need to be more flexible here and there. So it's mainly independent learning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Helmi, we come to you, and I heard that you had the chance about a couple of months ago, you know, in 2019, you had the chance to actually go and coach another country's national team at a prominent championship. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was given the opportunity, not only myself, plus my coach, Jensen. So two of us went to Scotland. So we were there to help prepare the team for the European Men's Championship.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so
this first, how did this come about?
I think it was through a discussion with Sid and the president of Scottish Bowling.
Sid Allen.
Yeah, Sid Allen, yeah. So they were working out a deal where we have one of our coaches go there and do an attachment with them. And then in the later part, we have one of their coaches to come over here and do an attachment with us. So it's like we're trying to learn from, you know, two countries trying to learn from each other.
But usually attachments means you go there and you study. You don't go there and become the coach of the team for a tournament.
So when we do attachments, there's always like three different levels of teams that we look at. So for me, Scotland is where they don't really have a coach, and the culture is there is different. So for us, it's all about, you know, where we have a lot of student athletes, you know, or athletes that, you know, just do bowling and stuff like that. But for them, they have to juggle. They're literally working adults. They really struggle with work, family, and bowling. And the funding there is also different. The federation only pays for their entry fees. Every other thing is borne by the bowler itself. So although we go there, we know when we go there, we coach the team that's supposed to represent Scotland. So usually I would assume there's the top six bowlers of the country. But when we start talking, you know, so they say they have a national ranking. So the six bowlers that I have with us are like position 3, position 4, position 11, position 17, and 20 something. So I said, why? Because they have to not only take leave from their work, you know, they got to pay their own way and pay for their own lodging and stuff like that. So it's a totally different culture. So when we go there, for us, we train 5 days a week. So it's normal for me.
Yeah.
So we go there, we expect the same. No? So
when you we go expect there, the same.
I expect the same. Yeah. So when we go there, we start training, right? Then we can see the players' energy levels start to go down a bit by midweek. Yeah. Then by the end, when we were having dinner, then the player said, coach, the amount of training we bowl in this week is like whatever they bowl in a year.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like a total different culture, you know, because they are working adults, so they juggle and stuff like that. So sometimes 1 week they only bowl like 4 hours, you know, and then they just bowl competition. So when I brought, you know, how we train, you know, our coaching program there, so there was like, they were like a bit of culture shock. And then they also understand now why Singapore is doing well. In the international scene. Yeah.
And for this particular championship, how did the team do?
I think according to the president, I think they hit new highs in the European Men's Championship because they were not a very strong team in Europe. But I think in the team event, after the first block, when they finished the top four country, you know, because in Europe Championship, every block you bowl, the top four countries will take a photo. So they took a photo in doubles, they took a photo in trios, and they took a photo in team. That means they were top four in their squad for those events. When the president was just so delighted.
Wow.
The president himself was bowling in the tournament. And he was so happy, you know, after the first round team event, no, this is so happy, you know, everybody go out dinner and stuff. Yeah.
And you got to wear
Scotland, Scotland. Yeah, Scotland. Wow. Yeah, we have the Lion, is it a lion? The Braveheart?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything, yeah.
Nice. I also understand that there's a relationship with Storm as well.
Yes. So for us, our coaches will go, for example, last time, Jason and myself had the opportunity to go to Storm. So when we are at Storm, not only we know...
Storm is
the manufacturer of bowling balls, one of the leading manufacturers of bowling balls in the world.
Right.
So when we go over to Storm, not only we understand how they make the bowling balls, we also understand the thinking of how they make a ball in such a way, you know, like the core, why is it so different from this, why is the core shaped this way, you know, and stuff like that. So we really understand each ball, how they behave, the way they behave. So from the numbers that appear on the ball, we roughly understand what this ball can do, what's the maximum potential of the ball that we can achieve. So that gives us, the coaching team, a lot of knowledge in terms of selection of bowling balls for championships, where you can only submit 6 balls into the competition. And that 6 balls is what you have, what you're stuck with throughout the competition. So with all this added advantage of understanding the difference in the bowling balls, I think it brings a lot for the coaches. Yeah.
I think, you know, in addition to that, the ability, you know, the opportunity to be able to work with the Storm technical team to support the PBA bowlers at the PBA tour, it is immeasurable, because to be able to see up close and personal how the technical staff can give feedback to the bowlers on ball reaction on the lanes, on selection. So you know, if you understand the complexity of bowling, it is more than just physical game. Tactically, you have to be matched up.
Mm.
So how the technical team can look at how the ball reaction on the lane and be able to make a call, okay, change. This ball is not matched up.
Mm.
So for them to be able to work, you know, shoulder to shoulder with this team of professional, that is really awesome.
Yeah, it's just that it's like science. It's like Formula
Absolutely,
One, changing the tires.
You can go to a classroom and there's only so much they can show you because they cannot think of every scenario.
Mm.
But when you're at the battlefront, to be able to work alongside this team of professional, to see how they can make that split second professional call, change the equipment so that tactically they are matched up.
Mm.
Now that is the biggest takeaway for us with our partnership with Storm.
Mm. So you know, like professional tour, you know, every shot they make down the lane counts. So before the bowler even makes a shot for the next frame, the ball right behind will know, hey, you need to change this ball because this is gonna happen, this is gonna happen. You know, it's like as if they can see the future, and then when they really do it, yeah, it really happened when they change the ball straight.
It is a science.
Yeah,
it is a science. I think most of us watching, including myself, have no knowledge.
Exactly. So if you don't know about bowling, you go like, excuse me, how come you can miss that spare? Why don't you just keep to the same board? But the oil has shifted. So, you know, I always say, you know, bowling is very much like golf, you know. Golf, you can see the hazards. For bowling, there are hazards out there too. It's only the professional can see it faster and clearer than the rest.
Yeah. The public probably won't know, but you have this thing about oiling the lanes. Yeah. That issue has cropped up many years. But about the signs of the bowling balls, I think this
first time. It is a different level.
Yeah.
It is a different level.
Okay.